Good morning, and welcome to each of you. I greet you in Jesus' name. Thanks, Ernie, for that it's a wonderful introduction for what I had on my mind. Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Quite a while ago, my friend Tim Stalsfus from Southern Arizona, used to be from Little Flock in here in Arkansas, for those of you not know him, had contacted me and wanted me to come out there to share. And then more recently, he got back and he gave me three messages that I'm supposed to preach. And it's a pretty heavy weekend, and I thought maybe I'd better get some preparation done beforehand. So I guess you can either thank or blame, whichever, him and those out there for this particular subject, perhaps. I realize that it does overlap somewhat with the last message I shared here on putting everything in God's box, and I decided rather than shying away from that, I would just deliberately embrace it and repeat myself on purpose because perhaps I need it. So anyway, in 2 weeks is when we plan to be in Arizona, there at the end of the school break. Okay, I've got a picture here I wanted to show you. I actually have another one for later. I wish it'd be a little bit clearer to see or easier to make big up here. This photo was taken in sometime before June 24 of 2021. Can you all see that somewhat? Probably in the back it might sort of blend together. It's a high-rise apartment building, if you can sort of see. Maybe that makes more sense. There's a swimming pool out front and 12 floors, a parking garage underneath. It was called, I'll just put that up here so you can think about it. The name of those, it was part of what they called the Champlain Towers in the town, in the Miami area of Florida. Surfside is the actual address. This was known as Champlain Towers South, so it was on the south side of the development there. This particular tower, well, like I said already, was 12 floors. It was a beachfront condominium, so it'd sort of be a fun place to rent, I guess. At least I don't too many people in a tower like that for me, perhaps, but nice location, at least for some people. 136 units. The units were valued somewhere between $355,000 to $615,000 per unit. So, not just a cheap place to live exactly. And yes, it was a place where people lived, a place where people were at home, really. I'll talk about that a bit later. In thinking about buildings, this building, my house, whichever building you want to choose, I had to think of what my good friend Jakob from Germany told me when he visited me here. I thought he looked sort of pained as he was looking at some buildings that I thought weren't too bad. And he said something about if you build things right, it lasts for a long time, sort of almost a reprimand kind of way. And I was like, well, that's right. I do 2x6s instead of 2x4s, right? So that should be an advancement. I had the privilege of visiting him in Germany, and I understood a bit better his pain, perhaps, after I saw how they build there. He took me to a school construction project that some of their churches were doing. And wow, yeah, I mean, you're talking about poured concrete walls. I don't know, I didn't measure them. They looked a good 24 inches thick probably, at least with the brick and stuff on outside, just massive. And even his own house, looking at the window casements, I couldn't tell exactly how it was all constructed, but I would say his walls were easily that thick. Well, if you come to my house, they're that thick, and I think it's pretty good, right? And I don't think his, as best I could tell, it was all masonry poured as well. I don't even have granite on my countertop, and he has it on his floor. So there you go. We build a bit different, right? So in thinking about buildings, what part of a building would you say is most important? And I asked this question, I think, a couple weeks ago, so maybe we can have the same answer. I'm not trying to minimize Of course, all the building, the Bible talks about thinking of the church, about it being fitly framed together. So I'm not trying to let the roof off or anything like that. At the same time, if you had to pick one part of the building to be very meticulous and careful with, where would you start?
Foundation.
The foundation. So let's just put that word up here once. Sometimes it amazes me what people hear me say when I preach. I get to go look and see what titles get put on some of my messages sometimes, and I'm like, is that what I said? And that's fine. I don't mean to pick on that. Maybe I emphasize the wrong thing. I'd like to talk about foundation. I'm going to talk about the foundation. Psalms 11 verse 3 says it this way: if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I take that as a thought-provoking question. If the foundation is wrong, what can you do? You know, without a good, strong foundation, can you make the rest come out right? For those of you who know Eli Hostetler, he was involved in a building project they told me about once where I forget what part they got to when they realized that the building was a foot out of square, the foundation and everything. And you know, at the stage they were at, there wasn't much they could do. They could cut the tile crooked and try to make it look right, but they really couldn't fix it. If the foundation's wrong, can you make the rest come out right? You know, in a physical building, you can compensate some. And some of you know a lot more about that than I do. I had when we put the addition on our house, I had to sort of take the help I could get on my foundation, and they believed in sort of pouring it level with concrete there, and more or less. And so those that helped me get that floor, we had to use something I think called shims. You ever hear of shims? So you can compensate a bit. Now, you can only go so far in a physical building, but you can do some. Minor, changing how you were going to build things a bit, you can hide a lot. But at the end of the day, at least they put plenty of concrete in, at least that seemed like it when I got the bill. But you cannot have a strong building if the strength is lacking in the foundation level, can you? Can you build your walls twice as good in hopes that they make up for the foundation? Well, your walls rest on the foundation. So a twice as thick wall still won't fix a problem below it necessarily. You know, in a spiritual building, is it safe to say it is impossible to compensate and build a strong life or life work if your foundation is off? If you discover a misplaced foundation, that must be corrected if you want the rest to stand strong. So in thinking about a foundation, what is a foundation? I sort of gave you some hints. Does somebody want to just describe a physical foundation to me? What is it? Perhaps some of you heard the word and don't really know what it is. So what is a foundation? There's a couple of you that have built more than I have. So can you give me a definition of a foundation? Just how would you briefly describe one? Okay, your starting point. Thank you. Anyone else want to add to that? Okay, it's hopefully going to last longer than, well, let's see, it needs its strength longer than really almost than the rest of the building, if the rest of the building's to hold together. We could keep going. So a lot of times for those of you that don't deal with them, a foundation we often think of today with concrete, with reinforcement in it, right? You dig down, you pour. I'll read some verses about that in a bit. So a physical foundation is a concrete pad or pillar, you can use rocks, other things, that the rest of the building rests on, and like Cletus said, the starting point. Now, thinking of a spiritual foundation, I ask myself, what is a spiritual foundation? As I think of building a spiritually, how would you describe a spiritual foundation? It's not physical concrete, evidently, so what is it? What composes or builds a spiritual foundation? Anybody want to tell me what you think? Jesus Christ. Well, he cut right to the quick, didn't he? Amen to that. Jesus Christ. And we'll read of that. And I also like to think of that in Jesus Christ, there is unfortunately people building a life today that are not building on Christ. And so to maybe break that down in a broader sense as to how we build, I'm going to call a foundation core beliefs, Let's see, I think I had a couple other words I was going to put up here. Core beliefs, values, and values. Let's just stick with that. So I'm thinking about a foundation that I build my life on. It's a thing of core, what I really believe and what I really value. Not what I necessarily say, but what is actual. So what does a foundation do? Thinking again of physical, I'd like to contrast or parallel the two a bit. What does a physical foundation do? Cletus already said it's a starting point. It's a fixed starting point that supports the rest of the building. What does a spiritual foundation do? Again, to use this, it's an underlying belief and faith supporting and prompting our thoughts and actions, isn't it? Or the lack thereof. A spiritual foundation is an underlying belief and faith supporting and prompting our thoughts and actions. So what effect does a foundation have? Or the lack of one? You know, in a physical sense, the effect of a foundation is stability, durability. A good, strong foundation allows the builder to focus on the rest of the building. He doesn't necessarily, if he feels secure on the foundation, he doesn't necessarily have to check it every day. He can go on and build on that because he's secure in what's underneath and what's there. What about in the spiritual sense? What effect does a spiritual foundation have? Again, it brings stability. Motivation and inspiration. What we think and what we say and what we do is all tied into the core of what we believe and what we value. So taking this a step further, where does a foundation show itself? So I think if we'd all go outside around this building, inside here you can't see it, but we could look down and where the block runs into the ground, we could see probably a bit of the foundation here and there. But generally speaking, a physical foundation, talking of a physical foundation, shows itself by not showing itself. Is that right? A physical foundation shows itself by not showing itself. I don't know if you all saw this tape cracking up here. I've been sitting there for quite a while looking at that occasionally. And I'm not picking. I know some of you were involved in building this building, so it's not that I'm having a problem with anyone. That sort of can be expansion and contraction. But in my house, I had it probably a little bit worse than that, and it's because the foundation of my house is not as secure as it could be. And when we get those little tremors here that we have had, I've had doorways that I had to go and make the door close latch again, as some of the people in my house know. And so that when that foundation is secure, it doesn't really show itself by making a display of itself, but it shows up in the rest of the building by how the rest of the building holds together, because it's finally based on the foundation itself. So thinking now, switching to the spiritual again, how does a spiritual foundation show itself? Again, I would indicate it doesn't really display itself as such, but it does show up in the rest of the building in these ways. It shows itself in what I value. It shows itself in how and where I find purpose and meaning in and for life. It shows itself in how I think. It shows itself in what I say and in why I say what I say. It shows itself in what I do and in why and how I do what I do. Let's open your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Has some verses speaking of this. I think I'll just break them down somewhat verse by verse or two verses at a time. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Those of you that can, that aren't holding children or something, why don't you stand? Make sure you're awake here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'll begin at verse 9. Like I said, I'll read the verse and then I'll give a thought or two on it. 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Now, in the verses prior to this, he was talking using illustration of growing things. So he's saying we are co-workers with God. We are God's farmers, if you will. And he goes on to say we are God's builders. Now, I know it says building, and there is a degree to where we are. God is building us as well. But here I would think a better translation would be we are God's farmers and we are God's builders. Going on to verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon on the foundation. You know, while others can encourage and show us the way by example, each one of us ends up building our own to some degree. I can't depend on somebody else to build on my foundation for me completely. Yes, there's a working together. At the same time, it's also an individual work. So he's saying, be very careful. Give thought and give attention to how you build, to what you build. Going on to verse 11, a verse that Ernie was probably referring to earlier. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's only one foundation that will stand the stress test of life and eternity. There's no one else, no other doctrine, no other philosophy, no other way of explaining things. That's a sure foundation except Christ. Verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, using, shall we say, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. He goes on and says, every man's work shall be made manifest or revealed or shown, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and that fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So everything I'm doing at some point in life, in time, or maybe at the end of time, if not before, is going to go through a trial process that will reveal it. And it's not necessarily when I think it is. I'm going to say there's times that, yes, we feel trials, we feel fire, if you will. At the same time, none of us is done building. And sometimes it's easy to try to judge a work before it's complete. And God knows when that work needs to be tested by fire. And yet, every man's work will be tested to see what sort it is. I had to think, a verse that came to mind, Hebrews 12, verse 6, just stay here for now, but as I considered this thing of a fire trying the work that I'm building, that you're building, Hebrews 12, 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That's sort of a harsh verse almost in my mind. It's one that I have, I don't know if I've feared it necessarily, but it's not really pleasant to think about being scourged. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I think I'll say this because it didn't involve anyone here. But earlier this week, I faced a bit of a difficult situation with some individuals. And perhaps the thing that was the most difficult about it was they wanted to be critical and they didn't even want to try to understand the situation. And you know, when I face something like that, it's easy to feel discouraged, to ask God, how can people that are professing to be your children, how can they act this way? And trust me, I do struggle with doing that. Yet not on their part now, but on my part before God, do I accept that God allows some such things as a fire to help me see myself? Not excusing whatever wrong there is on other people's part. But perchance God uses that as a fire to help me see myself. To help me consider what foundation have I really built on here. You know, without some fire, some testing, some trials, it's pretty easy to be deceived. I don't know about you, but I know for me that as much as I hate difficult times in life, I found them to be very necessary because it is only then that I think I can perhaps most clearly see what God really wants to do in my life. What foundation have I built on? What foundation am I building on? Back to verse 14 here, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward, the reward of a job well done. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You can be seated. Verse 15 is a bit hard for me to explain exactly what that all means. As I was thinking, I'll just tell you what I think, not trying to say I'm right. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by as by fire. In looking at my own life and observing other people, I think sometimes God tests what we have poured our life into. He tests it, and when it doesn't really survive as well as we had thought it would, perhaps, it's not saying that we are necessarily falling into condemnation, but it's an opportunity to see that we've misdirected some of these resources. It almost seems to me saying it may be possible to have a good intent, to have a good desire, and still misspend my resources and my energy. And like I said, perhaps such a person, perhaps the whole reason for this is not so much that eternal damnation, yet showing us ourselves that the fact that what I've focused on, what I've made so important, was misplaced, was misdirected, and in reality was a failure to at least some extent. You know, and here's the big difference between a human and a house, if you will. I talked a bit about our addition there. My house is stuck with that foundation, isn't it? I'm not going to come home from church and hear the house is 10 foot off in my yard somehow looking for a different foundation. It's pretty much stayed there. Now, a tornado could come and lift it or something, but on its own, it's going to stay there. As human beings, we're a bit different than a house in that we can begin with the right foundation, but we can pretty quickly find ourselves 10 feet off, 100 feet off, or maybe out in the middle of the neighbor's field looking for a different foundation. You know, you get a house or another building on a good foundation, you're good to go, more or less, for a time at least. You get me or another human, start on the right foundation, we're rather apt to wander away from it and try something else. And this brings me back to the reason that I at least need fire in my life. I need to check and recheck. Am I really on the foundation? Because there's only one, friends. It doesn't matter if I have 480 or 4,891 and a half good reasons for why I do what I do and why I do it. If Christ and a passionate desire and longing for him to have all of me and all I have are not the number one reason for what I do, it will all burn up, so to speak. It will be a loss. My work, my effort will be useless. Actually, worse than useless, it will be a hindrance to myself and others. Turn to Luke now, and this is the passage that's somewhat repetitious from my previous message. I think I read it out of Matthew. For today, I'd like the way the wording Luke used. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 is where I want to start reading. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And keep Ernie's devotional in mind as I read this. Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Now, Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 49. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth. against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Friends, this morning, actually all of life, knowing God is so much more than doing or not doing certain things. It involves that. Knowing God is more than having certain forms, reciting certain spiels, even more than having wonderful works. Knowing God means being God's. What I do comes out of what I am. Again, both of these men knew what a house should look like. Both of these men knew how to build a house, if you will. So what was the difference between the foolish men and the wise men? The one rationalized and excused less than a strong foundation. I was looking at a flood zone map because of a piece of property that I've been looking at. And on this flood zone map, it said that that particular piece of property had a 1% chance of getting flooded per annum. I didn't know, 1% chance per annum. I guess that's what they call 100-year floodplain. I don't know. So in looking at that a bit more, they said this. They said that if you were to build a house in a 1% per annum floodplain, the chance that your house would get flooded is one chance in four in a 30-year mortgage. So, okay, it's trying to break it down into 30-year. That's one chance in four that I'll have a get the house flooded out in a 30-year mortgage. So, you know, if I pursue the foolish man's logic, I would say one in four. That's a pretty good chance it won't, right? Greater than otherwise. So one to four, three to one. That sounds good. It should outlast me. It won't be my worry. Maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. Who knows? But I'll probably be okay. Chances are good I will be. You know, who's going to notice? You never go. I have yet to have anybody come to any project I've been involved in other than an inspector perhaps and say, oh, nice foundation. You know, we sort of hope not to see it. You know, it would save time. It would save expense. It would save effort. It's resources I can use elsewhere to cut some corners here. You know, the wise man realized that without a strong foundation, everything else was insecure and at best a temporary measure. Perhaps it would never flood, but he wanted it done right. Perhaps he could get by with less, but he wanted to build something those following him could look to as secure, that something they could depend on. He wanted something true, trustworthy. Maybe I should say a German house. There again, when I was in Germany and also the rest of Europe there, Germany probably was perhaps the most outstanding of the parts I've been in, is they have buildings there that we're looking at that sort of boggles my mind, but some of those things were built before Columbus discovered America in some spots. You know, they've stood the test of time. In fact, they had the one little building, I don't know how old that one was, but it actually had a thing where that showed the flood level of 1641. Where this flood had come up on the building, and it's like, really? I can't vouch it for it being the exact same building, but it was a really old building, so it may have been. I don't remember asking them about that. But something that would last. You know, perhaps he personally would not have to worry about this if he didn't do this foundation, but what about others? You know, it wasn't about being noticed. It was about doing it right. It was about practicing his building skill with all he knew, with all he was capable of, according to knowledge. It was building this with the realization that if a job is not done right, the ones following will not benefit from the corners you cut in getting to them. One took pains to sound right, to look right. The other one took pains to be right. The one was satisfied with mediocrity and comparative goodness. Good average house here. The other one wanted his best, to give his best, to be certain he had done all he could. Let's go back to the picture up here, Champlain Towers South. Can anybody remember anything about that tower that you would like to tell us now? Cletus, it collapsed, it fell in on itself. It was about 40 years old, built about 40 years ago. I don't know if you can see this, but that's after the cleanup. There's the same swimming pool here, but sort of the red part here, there's a red line here, that part was completely fell in on itself. There was 101 people either at home or in a rental that night on June 24, 2021, at around 1:22 a.m. in the morning, when most probably were feeling hopefully secure at home in their beds, this building fell in on itself because of pillars down in the parking garage that gave way. The people leading the investigation said there was around 24 possible reasons they failed. But you know, at the end of the day, that really didn't matter to the 101 people in their beds that morning at 1:22. 98 of them were killed. They pulled three out of the rubble that survived. I don't know if I should stay here. I'm not an expert on at all what happened there that night. We do know that they knew the concrete work was faulty, or was stressed, however I should say, that possibly it had water damage and all that. But at the end of the day, I think it's a safe parallel to say that the foundation that those towers were built on weren't sufficient for what was there with the upkeep that they had had. So it was a weak foundation, a neglected foundation. And I can't imagine much worse way. I don't know, y'all ever have those, when you're sleeping, you have a dream about falling? I think about that, and you sort of, I don't know if you ever done it. I've had enough to suit me, which wasn't all that many. But, you know, you do this terrible leap thing and discover that, you aren't on the 12th floor, headed floor of the ground floor after all. And so that brings a measure of relief to wake up and to actually find yourself in that situation. I can't think of hardly anything. That'd be a terrible feeling. And that's where those 101 people found themselves, due to a neglected, weak foundation. You know, as human beings, I told you, we can sort of wander around, and we may even have built on Christ. I'm not trying to indicate we haven't. At the same time, I and myself see a very real possibility that I move off of my sure foundation onto trying to something other, less than Christ. And what are some of those things? And in mentioning these things, I'm not trying to be anti or negative these particular things necessarily. I think they play a role in life, but let's remember they cannot be the foundation that we build on. So some things I have is that we may be tempted to use as foundations are feelings. Whether these are, I feel good, I look good, so I must be good, or I feel bad, I must look bad, I must be evil. Feelings are a terrible foundation to build on. There's a quote or paraphrase from a book, and I don't know who to contribute it to, but I'll just use what I remember of it. It sticks in my mind. One individual said, "No, not what we feel or say we'll do, but how we do we'll do." No, not how we feel or say we'll do, but how we do we'll do. Feelings are a terrible foundation. Feelings are a gift from God, and they're to be enjoyed, but if you try to build on them, you definitely have joined the foolish man in his efforts. Next one I have is human experience. You know, I've seen this have this effect or this result, and so therefore, whatever. And I want to be careful with this one. It's not that I'm trying to suggest we disregard all experience. But many times I have seen people with experience outside of Christ trying to leverage that experience that this is the sum total of life. And friends, that's not true. Most definitely, experience outside of Christ will be different than experience with Christ. And so experience can be good, and let's not disregard it rashly or blindly, but let's realize that it's not really a safe foundation. Traditions, sort of building on experience, perhaps. You know, others have done it this way. It seemed to work for them. It's good enough for me. Good enough for grandpa and dad, whatever. Again, I do not mean to be coming across as despising faithfulness of others who have perhaps taught us much. Yet at the same time, remember, they are human as am I. And I don't want my daughters to ever use Joe as a foundation. If I can point them to Christ, praise God, but nothing more than that. Learn from, but do not depend on others as a foundation. Perhaps another one I should mention here is human reasoning. You know, it makes sense to me this way. I think things should be done that way. Reasoning, again, is a gift from God. But if it's not built on the foundation of Christ, it's missing its base in truth. And so reasoning is only as good as its foundation, and that foundation needs to be Christ. Perhaps another, I'm not sure if I have the right word from this, because I know we look at this word somewhat askance, but I think it comes a little closer home than what we sometimes care to admit. I'm going to call it mysticism. You know, if I follow the proper forms and means, I will reach the correct results. And okay, it's great, it's good to have some methods, to have some orderliness in how you proceed with things. I'm not suggesting that. But I would like to say nothing, and I think I really do mean nothing, is a substitute for wholly seeking after God. I can't just go through forms and expect to be right. I need to seek after God with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, and all my strength. Nothing, and again, I actually mean nothing, may transplant the work of the Holy Spirit in my heart and life. So what is a sure foundation? What's one I can trust on? One that won't collapse at 1:22 a.m. in the morning when I most need it. Here's a verse from Isaiah that blessed me. You may or may not turn to it as you care. It's Isaiah 28, verse 16. It says this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Last part of that verse is translated a bit awkwardly. Very evidently speaking of Christ. So think of it again, and I'll read it again, changing the end part there a bit. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone Christ, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth in Christ will have joy and security as he goes about his work. Again, we could just repeat 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Christ, only Christ. So the next question is, how do I find this foundation? And again, I'm not telling people that don't know this, but perhaps I need the refresher. How do I find Christ, this foundation? Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter, talking to the Jews there at Pentecost, said this. Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So I broke that down into a couple things. Is believe in Christ. Repent from your sin. Accept the gift of the Holy Spirit. And live in obedience. And then perhaps, for at least for me, repeat as needed. So how do I go on and also build on this foundation? Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Live by faith. Seek after God with all your heart. Now for the last question. What is the result of building on this foundation? What is the result of building on this foundation? Christ, the rock. Galatians 4, verse 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, my dear Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir of God through Christ. Some years ago, I preached this, used this verse in a message quite a ways from here, a place where people didn't know me that well. And later, somebody came by and thought I had been adopted. And you know, they're right. I have been adopted. Maybe not exactly in the way they're thinking. But as I build on this foundation, I'm no longer Joe Bauman or whatever physical earthly inheritance I've received. I'm an adopted son of God. And to me, adoption is probably one of the most precious things. I can dare to call him my father, my dear father. There was a phrase, a sort of a chorus song. I almost forget who was singing it. Just the words, I wrote the words down here. Sort of direct connection to the loving, about love the Lord your God with all your heart. Goes like this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And that phrase was repeated a couple times. And the next phrase they sang was, I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. Loving God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength does mean just that. But it also starts, or I should say it starts, by building on the foundation, Christ the rock.